Well, good afternoon, good evening, or good morning, depending upon wherever you are. This is WCOM LP, Carborough and Chapel Hill, 103.5 FM. Welcome to another round of Pub Theology. I'm your host, Stuart D. And like any good pub experience, we've got lighthearted conversations about deep topics of faith, spirituality, philosophy, ethics, and culture. Take all that and mix it in with a little music, and you've got pub theology. The questions, or even the answers, are never really the point. It's all about the conversation. And this week, we have a treat on our hands. Coming up Friday at Cat's Cradle, October the 4th, Gregory Alan Isakoff is going to be playing there. Gregory Alan is a folk singer-songwriter, and I had the privilege of being able to interview him earlier today. And it was a real treat, and I'm really excited to bring this to you. And then afterwards, we'll actually let you listen to some of his music, just to be able to create something around this as he comes to town. So I think, this is pretty interesting. And so here is the interview. So today I've got the pleasure of talking with folk singer-songwriter Gregory Alan Isakoff. His newest album, The Weatherman, came out in July, and he's currently on tour. And this Friday, October the 4th, Gregory will be playing at Cat's Cradle here in Carborough. My wife and I have had tickets for this for a few months now, and we're super excited for this. So welcome, Gregory.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm excited for this. I'm actually excited really just for the show as well, too. So this is one of those interviews that's kind of like totally selfish on my behalf. Because I'm just really just excited for you guys coming to town.
Yeah, we are too. You know, we've never been, we played, I think, one show in North Carolina, maybe a couple openers. But we've been really excited. We have some good friends over there too. We've been really excited to make it that way.
So how's your tour going so far?
It's been amazing. I think this is sort of the longest tour that we've done at once, you know, sort of in the past 3 months or something, just, I guess, since June. Like late June, and so it's been going really well. I've been really loving it actually every day.
So you've got tonight. You're at Eddie's Attic in Atlanta, is that right?
Yeah, we have a couple shows at Eddie's tonight, and then I think we're in Athens the next day.
Okay. Have you played at Eddie's before? It's. I've seen a couple shows there. It's a great venue.
Yeah, it's a cool spot. Yeah. Yeah, it's a really small kind of intimate place. Mm-hmm.
So, well, let's kind of move on from this. And so we'll just, I want to know more about you and this whole process. And so from what I've gathered so far, you're born in Johannesburg, South Africa. And your bio like says you moved around most of your life. And so what were your early years like, and when did music start to take a hold with you?
Well, I think, you know, that it really had a kind of tied into the fact that, you know, my whole family moved to the East Coast when I was like almost seven. So, I mostly grew up here, and we moved around a lot. My dad is an engineer. He started his own business kind of in outside of Philadelphia, and so we kind of just moved. You know, we moved around quite a bit in the beginning, and I have two brothers, and my family just got really close. And we all played music throughout, you know, that whole kind of time. So music became kind of really imperative, I think, especially when you're like a new kid everywhere all the time. You know, you can just go home and hang out with your brothers, mm-hmm. you know? So I think it, you know, it definitely had that kind of ingrained in me at an early age.
So... But what's interesting, you have a really interesting story. And I know oftentimes when you talk about people's stories, like your own story doesn't feel that interesting. But from the outsider, I think it's really interesting because I know like in 1999, you made this, you know, it's the whole stereotypical time-worn move that any artist has when they say like, you know, I'm going to be a musician. So I need to go move to Colorado to study horticulture.
you know, I never thought I'd be a musician ever. I never, you know, I think music was something, you know, I started writing in high school And, you know, touring with bands. I was a drummer in that kind of a heavy metal band for a while. But I moved to Colorado to go to a horticulture school. And because, I mean, I just always loved plants. And my grandmother was a really avid gardener. And I was really passionate about it. And, you know, music was something I sort of just was like eating dinner. It was just something, like a part of your day.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I never thought I'd be doing this all the time at all, ever. So it's been really, it's really cool that I get to.
Now, do you still have room for kind of cultivating all of that, you know, the planting, the horticulture thing that, that goes on in your life right now?
I do. I mean, I worked at a lot of farms and I would tour mostly in the winter, off season. And then I had a small landscaping company. It was just me really, kind of doing mostly food production, but like, you know, people that didn't want to have like bluegrass in the front of, you know, in their lawn, you know, I'd kind of rip it out for food for them. And, so that was sort of my, kind of what I specialized in. And then, you know, we play shows after, you know, as much as we could. I've been playing with the same group of people for a long time. And, So it's amazing that we all get to do this all the time now.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's
but
great.
Yeah, I usually take summers off. A lot of times, our booking agent is really rad. She and she's a good friend, so she understands me. Usually, she doesn't book things too hard in the summer. So I usually have a pretty big garden in the summer. This summer we're touring a lot, so it didn't really happen. I mean, I got a few things going at home. But.
So the garden is dead right now. Is that what you're telling us?
Well, actually, my neighbor I'm paying is a cable bill, or it's like internet thing. He's watering it for me every day, which is awesome. We just got a lot of water in Colorado, maybe too much water, and we all got flooded pretty bad. The gardens are doing great.
So, like in. Because I read this and I thought this was just, it was really, really funny. Because so 2009, yeah, your song, Big Black Car from the album, The Empty Northern Hemisphere was featured in a 2012 McDonald's commercial.
Right.
I know, which is funny because actually I went and looked it up and the commercial is awesome. And a kind of in a bizarre way, you know, because it sets the stage and anybody can find this on YouTube, you know, with this couple's having a romantic candlelit dinner and eating Big Macs. Which is the, you know, any kind of great, romantic dinner begins with a Big Mac.
well, yeah, I mean, I would hope so.
But I know, like, tell me a little about, like, what you did with the proceeds of this. See, I think that was what was awesome, like, what you did with the proceeds from that car.
Well, you know, we were touring with our friend Flying Pilot. We were up in the Northeast in Canada, and we played a show in Toronto. And then I guess there was a bunch of these kind of young filmmakers that got hired to do this commercial, and they called me.
Mm-hmm.
And they were asked if they could use the song, and I was like, yeah, I don't know, I'm like an organic farming major, I don't think that's going to work, you know? I don't know if that's like my thing. And then, so we kind of passed on it the first, I think they asked again, we passed on it. And they called back, and they're like, well, you know, I think we can give you like $40,000 or something like that. And we all kind of just sat around, and we're like, well, it still doesn't feel good. And But you know, we were all, we had a show in Steamboat, we were hanging out in the winter, and we thought, oh man, we could do such cool things with that money. I mean, there's so many, I mean, just local farmers around here could use it. And I mean, and there's just, so we kind of chose our favorite little spots and some local stuff and then some more kind of international organic farming places. And we, one of my favorite places is Seedsavers Exchange, which is in Iowa. But we got to donate a lot of money to them, and it was felt really cool because we always have these fundraisers to like pay for gas, you know. And it was cool to be able to like, you know, support some cool people. You know, I hope that, you know, it's a rare thing to get to do that because, you know, it's hard. You know, I think a lot of people go through hard time money, and we were gonna say no, so we were like, well, let's just do it and just, you know. And just kind of support some of our heroes, you know, that are important to us. So it was a cool thing we got to do.
Well, I know, but I love the idea that you did that with McDonald's money as well, too.
Yeah, I mean, it was ironic, you know. I guess, you know, it's funny. I've never really eaten at McDonald's because I grew up vegetarian.
Mm-hmm.
And, but, I mean, you know, they're sort of like the big machine or whatever,
mm-hmm.
Which we never thought we'd get to have to make those kinds of decisions, I guess, you know. But, you know, there's something about, you know, I have a very good relationship to music and mm-hmm. and the whole, you know, the social media world and the commercial world. I sort of take it with a grain of salt. I guess nothing is, you know, I'm not a very political person. I wouldn't not call myself that. But it felt like an opportunity for me to do something cool.
Mm-hmm.
I had to stay away from the internet for like 6 months. I got some kind of mean letters for a while, but it was way worth it.
That's awesome. So you've got, albums. You've got Rust Colored Stones in 2003, followed by Songs for October 2005. And then you've got That Sea, The Gambler 2007, and Empty Northern Hemisphere in 2009. And now The Weatherman, which I know was released this summer. And I'll just tell you, like, I actually love it. I feel like it's this whole like ethereal, like intimate storytelling. It just feels really human and earthy, and it has this like lived in feel to it.
Thank you.
And what can you speak? What is your writing process like?
I write a lot, you know, I write a lot of stories, prose and poems. But songs kind of happen at once for me. I the first studio record we made was That Sea, The Gambler, and the ones before that were kind of these 4-track tapes that I was kind of made in my house. Mm-hmm. I never thought anyone would hear them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, for me, you know, Empty Northern, all the records that I made took quite a bit of time, like at least a year and a half to 2.5 years. And with The Weatherman, I was kind of slaving on this record for a couple of years. And then I kind of threw it away and just wrote a whole new record. And that became The Weatherman. It was kind of one of those decisions I think any artist goes through, you know, whether it's, you know, whatever medium they're working with, or whether you have to check in with yourself to make sure if it's current and honest and something that is kind of making sense to you or inspiring you. And it turned out I was sort of just like, you know, chiseling away at this thing I was trying to make into something else, where I was writing all this new material at the same time. It felt really important for me to follow that, you know. And I guess the drawback of that is, you know, you don't have the time to time isn't on your side, because you can't let it sit and make sure it's going to live, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. which I like to do. I like to sit on things and make sure like they still sound right, you know, a few months later or whatever it is. But we kind of just did it in a new way for me. We kind of just rented this old analog studio and did a lot of it on tape. And there wasn't a lot of editing, and there wasn't a lot of... I just tried to keep it kind of honest as I could, really.
Mm-hmm. But I know you said this, and I love this. It's just a great quote. You said... my songs have nothing to do with me, and they have a life of their own. A lot of times, I won't know what a song is about when I'm writing it. It just has a certain feeling about it. Can you unpack that statement a little bit?
I think that it's a co-creative thing. It's like you can kind of plant the seed for it, all you have to do, all it needs from you is some attention, in my experience, and then you're kind of working with it. You'll know when it's done. You know, it's funny because we wanted to make like this kind of lo-fi rock record. And it didn't turn that way at all. It turned into the kind of a sleepy kind of more ethereal record, which it wasn't our intention in the beginning. But it's just where the songs wanted to go. You know, it's sort of just how they wanted to be recorded and what the material was that we chose for it. But we had a whole, you know, different kind of idea for it at the beginning. So I think it's really a co-creative thing. I, I don't know how else to put it.
No, I think you put it very well.
Which I think is what I really love about it, because I don't think it's something that you can ever master, you know. It's sort of like, it's not really evolutionary. I don't think my songs are in, right now, I don't know if they're getting better or if the writing is getting better, but I think it's just, you're constantly having this relationship to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's always going to be different, you know, every time, which I really love about it.
No, it's like, I think like what you're saying is like, you know, it has a life of its own.
That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when you were talking about Weatherman, I got another quote of yours. It says, you'd said, you know, to me, the idea of Weatherman is really powerful. You know, that there's a guy on television or on the radio telling us the future and nobody cares. It's this daily mundane miracle. And I think the songs I chose are about noticing the beauty in the normal everyday life. And so I know you've been on tour since, you know, July. Where are you seeing beauty in everyday life on your tour right now?
I think it's easy, you know, when you're around people and you're out of your element and that kind of our normal, our daily rituals are kind of broken. Mm. You know, and you kind of notice it. You notice it everywhere. And I don't know. I read a lot of Leonard Cohen. I love his writing. And he's really good at taking something like really mundane and turning it into this beautiful feeling. And I love that about his writing. But I really relate with it because, I mean, I was writing a short story at the same time I wrote The Weatherman. It was actually called The Weatherman. And it was about this woman that lives in this trailer park. And then there's this TV on in the background. She's kind of crazy, and she's always, like, talking to herself and stuff. And she's kind of shunned from this little small New Mexican community. And the other character in the story is the weatherman on the television. And they ended up kind of having – and he's this mystical creature who's kind of telling her the things that are going to happen. And so it's this conversation between her and the television really. With this character and so a lot of the lines I would take lines from the stories a lot and draw them into songs, and I guess the ones that were worthy made it, I guess. But it was a cool it's cool to think of us, we have all these things in our world right now, and I draw a lot of writing from nature, but I mean, even just like being able to go to like the grocery store and find avocados in the winter.
Yeah.
I mean, there's like these amazing things that happen to us all the time. And it's like, no one cares. You know, we look over it so much. And I think there's something there that there's a lot. It's endless pool of material that can be drawn there. So, I think I just even scratched the surface on some of these songs, but I think a lot of them, a lot of the ideas made it into a lot of the songs.
So when you're thinking, you're telling me that you started, you know, as an artist at a pretty young age doing music. How do you feel like, especially where you're at today, how do you feel like your sound or your way of looking at music has changed? How have you evolved over the past, you know, from there to now?
You know, I think I listen to a lot of different kinds of music, and I think music is amazing because it doesn't matter if it has words in it or it doesn't, or what instrumentation there is, or what style it is, or what section of the record store you're in, or whatever. It's sort of just everyone's after a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I think. I mean, whether it's like really hard rock or jazz or like folk music or, you know, whatever it is, or dance music or whatever. It's like if that feeling isn't there, we're not into it. And it's an amazing thing to take something tangible and try to create a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
But so, that's so intangible. So it's amazing what you can do with space. For me, I think I'm attracted to a lot of space in the music. And And so I'm trying to get myself out of the way as much as I can.
Hmm.
You know, because I think great songs, once in a while I'll notice a really great song. It doesn't matter who's singing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of that the singer's kind of gone in the picture.
Hmm.
But I think everyone's after that feeling, really. Mm-hmm.
So within that, what is next for you guys? Like, what is the next step? I mean, I know you've got the tour. I think that you guys wrap up what, like mid-November?
Yeah, we're touring for a couple more weeks, and then we go home and get to play with the Colorado Symphony, which is really exciting. And then we're out with Omni DeFranco for a few weeks and Josh Ritter for a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then that brings us up. I think next year we're doing some stuff in Europe.
Mm. Do you have another album on the horizon as well, too?
Yeah, we do, actually. There's another EP that we've been working on, and planning on putting up a live record, actually, with the Colorado Symphony that we're doing in a couple weeks.
Oh, wow.
Hopefully, if we all have a good day, hopefully it'll sound good.
So this may sound slightly random or not, but I will just go with me on this question. So who or what has really inspired you to use the harmonica mic in your shows?
Well, oh yeah, like the bullet. Yeah. I used to play these like 3-hour bar shows.
Mm-hmm.
In Colorado, there was this place called the Appaloosa Grill. And then I would go camping up in Montana. I'd go like a bar gig kind of to pay for my gas when I was starting out. And I got this harmonica mic and I would play harmonica through it sometimes, and then I started singing through it, and it kind of broke up the 3-hour show for me, and I was totally alone, so it was like 3 hours is a long time to play, you know, to hear yourself, you know. And so it kind of broke up the sound for me, and then I kind of looked at it, this other part of my, as this other voice or something in me, in the writing, it started coming out, songs really. I was like there's like a ghost walking around in all of us, and has something to say, and so sometimes some songs belong to him, some songs belong to like that other person in us. I don't know, so it has this different writer's voice for me, and I use them both a lot, you know, but like together,
mm-hmm.
to kind of thin out the sound a little bit more. But I don't know, I sort of just got accustomed to doing that over the years, just playing bars, and kind of break up that time, but that's how it started, really.
So, I mean, you guys have been going like since July, pretty nonstop. Like, for you, how do you find balance and peace, like in the midst of all this touring? Like, what keeps you grounded and sane?
I think the shows, really. I mean, every time, every night, I cannot believe that people take time out of their day and a crazy schedule and on a Monday night, and you know, like, ticket prices and gas and all that stuff, and everyone goes to work and they still come and hear us play. It blows my mind, you know. It's amazing. And so I think, you know, really it's the people and getting the opportunity to play. Every time I'm just blown away by it. I think it's like it feeds us so much. And makes all the shitty traveling work for sure.
Yeah. And you were talking about what you've been listening to these days. You didn't say specifically what is, like, what music are you listening to these days?
Oh, a bunch of bands. I really like this band Youth Lagoon right now. Different Idaho. And then I love, also my buddy Patrick Park is great. He's actually going to be opening up that show, I think. Maybe not. But he's on tour in the next 5 or 6 shows about it. And I just heard the new Pearl Jam single yesterday. That was killer. I don't know. I listen to a lot of Al Davis, too, a lot of old time music, and I love it all. Not all of it, but a lot of it.
Well, I always like to end an interview with this with some sort of ridiculously big question, and you can choose to answer it however you like. Can, you know, you can be snarky, you can be a smartass, you can go deep, you can go shallow, it doesn't really matter. But for you personally, like where you're at, like what is the most important question that you're wrestling with in your life right now?
I think the, I mean, really is like, and we make a joke out of it. We say it every day. We're like, oh, what the fuck are we doing with our lives?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, that I'm 33 and that never has gone away. I mean, I was a gardener for a long time and now I guess I'm a musician.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I know. And there's this kind of, deep sense of insecurity that I think everyone has in their lives at some level of like, what am I, because there's so many amazing things to do. I mean, even in college, like picking a major could be like this big tragedy, you know, because you're like, I'm closing all these cool things that I could learn about, you know? And I think it's never gone away. There's this, it's always under everybody, you know? We're always like, what are we doing? what are we doing? You know, and, I visited this potter, the studio in Fayetteville, Arkansas, and I was like, you're a potter. Oh my God. Like, that is so rad. You know, I could just drop everything and like learn how to be a potter, you know, that would be awesome. And, yeah, it's kind of always on my mind, like how many amazing things there are to do. And you know, and I'm like, sometimes I question, you know, Those are sometimes the big questions, you know.
Well, Greg, thanks so much for your time.
Oh, yeah, thank you for your time. That was really fun.
Yeah, and I know for everyone else, just a reminder that Gregory Alan Isakoff will be playing at Cat's Cradle this Friday. If you're listening to us through podcast, do yourself a favor also and check him out on iTunes. Yeah, he's one of those artists that I always seem to enjoy and continues to surprise me. So thank you very much, Gregory.
Thank you.
Well, that was our interview this week with Gregory Alan Isakoff. And right now, we are going to transition over to give you guys a taste of some of his music. We're going to listen to two songs. The first one being Second Chances, which is off the album we were speaking about, The Weatherman. And the second one will be The Stable Song. And that is off of The Sea and the Gambler. So here is Gregory Alan Isakoff. Waiting in the wings while the trees
saw something shine. Thought that heart was yours, but it might just be mine. I could share it with you if you gave me the time. I'm all blood and all bones, longing for home. If it weren't for second chances, we'd all be alone. Like prayer, like gospel hymns that you call in the air. Come down, sweet reverence, unto my humble house and rain and rain. Strawberry up on a table. Well, I drank and sang and passed in the stable. Thank you. that tall grass grows high and brown. Well, I dragged you straight in the muddy ground, and you sent me back to where I roam. Well, I cursed and I cried, but now I know. Oh, now I know. And I ran back to that hollow again. The moon was just a sliver back then, and I ached for my heart like some tin man. Oh, it's ringing. Ring like crazy, ring like hell. Turn me back into that wild-haired gale. Ring like silver, ring like gold. Turn these diamonds straight back into cold. Turn these diamonds straight back into coal.
That was Gregory Alan Isakoff, who will be playing down at Cat's Cradle this Friday, October the 4th. WCOM is listener-supported community radio, and Pub Theology is only possible through our sponsors. Located atop one of the highest points in Orange County, Aqueduct Conference Center was established in 1978 as a peaceful destination for small group meetings, conferences, dining, retreats, weddings, and special events. Call or come by for more information. Their number is 919-933-5557. Or you can also check them out at www.aqueductcc.com. Pub Theology is also sponsored by Lumen Communities. Lumen is cultivating a spiritual community of seekers, sojourners, question askers, doubters, and skeptics. Lumen is a collective of fellow travelers that embrace the truth that all life is sacred. Hope is real, and tomorrow can be better than today. And all are welcome. Go to www.lumencommunities.com. That's www.lumencommunities.com for events and gatherings. Like every week, Pub Theology is not just here for great conversations. It's also here for music. It's also here for you. So next up, we have your 5 till 5 mix. That's 5 songs to get you till the end of your workday. 5 songs to get you to 5 o'clock. This week, inspired by Gregory Alan Isakoff, we lovingly call it Folk You, which is 5 songs of great folk music. Isakoff starts us off with Living Proof off The Weathermen. The next up is Good Old War with Coney Island. Then we have the Cave Singers with Swim Club. Then Ryan Adams and Lucky Now. And we'll end with Slow It Down by the Lumineers. Enjoy.
The night fell. Bicycle bells, the dark had wooden teeth. Oh, we broke on up to hill country. The air was thin and sweet. Lord, the air was thin and sweet. She held on to my coat that night like a kid lost in her sleeves. Oh, we warmed the ground, we hushed our sound. We slept on walking feet. Lord, we slept on walking feet. From our bodies, and we were flicker and flame. Yeah, we burned till the morning, darling. Pardon me. Off in the night. Sirens of the sea, oh, and city birds and alley girls, they all just sing for free. Oh, they all just sing for free. Oh, darling, pardon me. But do I look familiar? Taking everything.
thinking that's why I still love it here. I'm thinking that's why I still love it here. I can't let this go, I'm on my way. You can only hold my diamond ring. I'll go crawling back to the city I love, 'cause it's already taking everything. 'Cause it's already taking everything.
Faded in a memory. I feel like somebody I don't know. Are we really who we used to be? Am I really who I was? Well, the lights will draw you in, and the dark will bring you down, and the night will break your heart, but only if you're lucky. Waiting outside while you find your keys, like bags of trash in the blackening snow. City of neon and toes that freeze. We got nothing and nowhere to go. We got nothing and nowhere. And the lights will draw you in, and the dark will take you down, and the night will break that's faded in the memory. I feel like somebody I don't know. Are we really who we used to be? Am I really who I was?
Have it, that's it. But for you to know, this is just a taste of what pub theology is. We actually have regular events in pubs around the community of this happening. Pub theology is people sitting around a table or couches talking about issues of faith, philosophy, ethics, and ideas over a beverage. It's a safe space where people can be honest and open about topics of faith, ask questions, and at the end of the night, no, it's perfectly fine if we disagree with one another. Pub theology is a regularly scheduled meetup that looks more like open conversations with friends, new and old, about stuff that really matters. Or as we like to say, beer, conversations, and God. We'll gather together for a pint and kick around some deep questions. The next pub theology is on October the 15th. That's a Tuesday at 7 p.m. at Fitzgerald's in Chapel Hill. If you want more information, look us up. www.meetup.com/pubtheology. That's it for this week. Thanks, folks.